Okay, a good evening, everybody. What do you say? A good kvittel. Good kvittel, everybody. Today's daf is Beitza daf Tes Zayin. We are holding on daf Tes Vav and Beis. We're 9 lines from the end of the page on Tes Vav and Beis at My Le'ein Nachonlo. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, anonymous wife and children, and is also sponsored anonymously with Chusei Gemar Chesimatovar, I guess at this point, a good kvittel for all of Klal Yisrael. So today what we're going to discuss is, first we're going to finish up the discussion about that phrase of Ein Nacholno, that you should go provide food for people who are Ein Nacholno. What does that mean, that Ein Nacholno? And that we also said Ki Chedvas Hashem Hi Meuzchem. What does that mean, Chedvas Hashem Meuzchem? And then the Gemara is going to discuss how Parnas is determined in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. So that's an unbelievable daf Yom coincidence. And Yom Kippur's daf, that one of the first 10 words of the daf is Yom Kippur. So that's pretty good. And then the Gemara is going to talk about the different attitudes of Shammai and Hillel, Shammai HaZaken and Hillel HaZaken, when it came to having food ready for Shabbos. And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether when you give a matana to somebody, you should let them know that you're giving a matana, or it's better to do so anonymously without letting them know that you're giving them a matana. They won't even know they ever received anything. The Gemara is at the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about what types of foods can be used for an Erev Tavshilin, and then on Amud Beis we're going to continue the discussion of Erev Tavshilin by discussing what happens if the Erev gets lost, or if the Erev gets eaten, and then what if you forgot to make an Erev? Can you rely on the rabbi of the city? Are there any limitations on that relying of the rabbi of the city for making the Erev? And then the Gemara is going to transition at the very end from Erev Tavshilin to other types of Erev. Erev Tchumin, Erev Chatzeros, and we're going to discuss, when Yanta falls out on Friday, are you allowed to make an Erev Tchumin so that you will be able to go beyond your Tchum Shabbos that Shabbos? Or an Erev Chatzeros so that you'll be able to carry in the Choter that Shabbos? So that's going to be at the very end of the daf. So let's begin. Again, 9 lines from the end of the page on daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. We had learned the story yesterday that the Braisa had quoted with Rabbi Eliezer, was sitting and darshaning all day in Hilchos Yom Tov, and groups of Talmidim kept on leaving in the middle of the shir, and he had something to say about every single group that left. You know, this one must have giant barrels of wine, and that one smaller barrels of wine, v'chule v'chule. But when the last group left, he encouraged them, and he told them that they should go eat, and he said, l'chu echol m'shmanim, sh'su m'mtakim, v'shulchu manosei nacholno, ki kodesh hayom la'adoneinu, v'al te'atzu, ki chedvas Hashem yimuzchem. So picking up on that phrase, the Gemara asks, "Mailein nacholno." What does it mean that you're supposed to send manos le'ein nacholno? It doesn't say le'ein lo. It doesn't say send manos to people who don't have food, Nebuch, for Yantif. It says le'ein nacholno, which makes it sound like they have food, it's just not prepared food. But what would be the problem? It's Yantif. Let them cook it. Well, why do you have to send them manos? If they have food and it's just not prepared, they're allowed to prepare it on Yantif. So Amar Rav Chisda l'misha lo iniach eruve tavshilin. No, we're talking about a case where Yontov is Erev Shabbos, they need that food for Shabbos, but they don't have the ability to prepare it for Shabbos because they didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Ikata Amri, others say, no, it's Misha lo hayelo laniach Erev Tavshilin. That's only for someone who could not have made an Erev Tavshilin because he was too busy on Erev Yontov. Something came up that was an anus. He was unable to make an Erev Tavshilin. Aval Misha shahayelo laniach Erev Tavshilin velo iniach posheyahu. But if someone could have made an Erev Tavshilin and didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, such a person is negligent, and if someone was negligent, then that's why he doesn't have enough food. There's no mitzvah to send him food and to encourage his negligence. So says the Gemara, okay, what about the last phrase, "My ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uzchem"? What does that phrase mean? Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uzchem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon Amar LaMakadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael Banai Levu Alai V'Kitshu Kedush Sayom V'Aminu B'Ivani Pareya. That you can borrow money in order to pay for your yantif needs, and you can trust me that I'm good for the money. Hashem says I'm going to send the bracha b'ma'ase yadechem so that you'll have enough money to pay up all the chavos that you incur in order to experience a proper simchas yom. Because any simcha that you do for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes achrayus for that expense. Va'am Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, harotze sheyiskaimu nechasav, if a person wants his nechasim to last, and he doesn't want his fields to be stolen from him. So there's a simple eitzah. Yita behen ador. He should plant a certain type of tree, which is a very chashuv tree, that's called ador. And everyone knows about this tree, and everyone's always going to say about your field, if you have such a chashuv tree in your field, they're always going to say, oh, that guy's field, he's got an ador in his field. So because the field is up, people are always going to be talking about him and his field, even if you were to travel to Medina Sayyam, and you'd be away for months, years, at a time, no one else is going to be able to try to take over your field, because everyone will always know your field by your name, because everyone's always going to be talking about it, and they'll always be talking about it as the owner of the field. So even if a person tries to be machzik in the field, the chazakah is not going to work. Shenemar, Adir b'morom Hashem, inami, or another possibility, Adir k'shmei. That Adir is the word Adar is the way people understand it normally, which is a lashon of Doros. Kedamri inshi, my Adra, dekaima l'dori dori. That this is a kind of tree that will last for many generations. Tani nami achi, sada sheyesh ba Adar, einu nigzeles ve'einu nechmeses. That if you have a field that has this Adar tree, it's not going to be stolen, nor it will be nechmesas. A chamson is someone who pays for the field, but takes it without the owner being willing to sell it. Right? That's when you violate lo sachmod. There are many explanations of chamas. That's one of the alchets actually. So the commentaries all explain that there are many different things. It means stealing pachas mishavar pruta. There are a lot of things that it means, but one of the things that chamas means is when you violate lo sachmud, when you convince someone to sell something to you, even though they're not interested in selling it to you. So if you plant this kind of tree in your field, then you could trust that your field's not going to get stolen, nor is anyone going to forcibly buy it from you. And not only that, in the zchus of this tree, the peros of the field are going to be protected, because this tree apparently has a lot of leaves, so it serves as a very good border around the field, so people won't be able to get in. The peros will be protected from people coming in and stealing them. Here it is. A person's entire mizonos, all of the food that a person needs, is determined how much he's going to have between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. At the beginning of the year, that cheshbon is made. So right now, after Yom Kippur, too late. That cheshbon is already made. Nothing is going to change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already made that decision. Chutz me'atzal Shabbos v'atzal Yom Tov v'atzal Zbanu v'atzal Torah. Except for three expenses. The expenses for Shabbos, the expenses for Yom Tov, and the expenses for educating our children in Torah. If you spend, it doesn't pay to go cheap on those things. Because if you go cheap on those things, you're just going to make less money. If you spend a lot on those things, you'll make more money. But with your mizonos, if you try to buy fancy foods, that's going to go into that's going to bite into how much money that you actually make. So it's worthwhile being more frugal in other areas of life, but it's not worthwhile being frugal when it comes to Kavod Shabbos, Kavod Yom Tov, and Talmud Torah. Shem piches pochs and lo, vim hosif mosif and lo. If you spend less on those things, so you're going to make less money. You spend more on those things, you're going to make more money. Amar Yavo Micro, what's the pasuk that's the source for this idea that it's all determined from the beginning of the year? Tikku b'chodesh shofar b'kesa liyom chagenu. So what does it mean b'kesa liyom chagenu? Ezu chag shachodesh miskasa bo. Where do we have a chag that the chodesh is miskasa? That the many interpretations of what this means, but we'll stick with the simple interpretation that the moon is covered. And you get, when do you have a yom tov where you can't see the moon, where the moon is not visible? Most yom tovim on the Jewish calendar are in the middle of the month where you're able to see the moon. Haviyomer is a Rosh Hashanah. That's on Rosh Hashanah because it's the beginning of the month. All the other yom tovim in the middle of the month, you're able to see the moon. So it's describing something about Rosh Hashanah. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, Ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. So on Rosh Hashanah, the chok is already determined. So you see from there that on Rosh Hashanah, how much food you're going to have is already determined. Says the Gemara, wait a second. You just see a chok is determined on Rosh Hashanah. What does it have to do with food? How do you know that your food is going to be determined on Rosh Hashanah? Where do you see that the word chok implies anything about food? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says by the Bnei Mitzrayim when they were makabel food from Paro, it says v'achlu es chukam asher nasalem Paro. Chukam meant their allotted amount of food. It was their mizonos that they got from Paro. Marzut shamar me'acha, a different pasuk. Chok means an allotted amount of food, because from the pasuk hatrifeni lechem chuki. Lechem chuki means the allotted amount of food that I'm entitled to, that I'm supposed to that I'm supposed to get. Now, this is our girsa in the Gemara. Our girsa in the Gemara has that the food is determined me Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom HaKippurim, that it's between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that it's determined. However, the girsa of the Rif, the girsa of the Rush, is kol mezonos hashalim k'suv lo me Rosh Hashanah ad Rosh Hashanah, that it's all determined on Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem makes the decision again the next year for the next on the next Rosh Hashanah. But nothing happens in Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's already determined on Rosh Hashanah, according to the Girsa of the Rif and the Rush. So the Rosh Yosef points out that these two Girsaos are disagreeing within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a person is Nidon B'Rosh Hashanah, but the Gzar Din is Nechtam B'Yom HaKippurim. We seem to assume like Rabbi Yehuda, right? We assume, we just got through with Ne'ilah, where we spoke about a Chasimas Hadin. That idea that there's a Chasimas Hadin on Yom HaKippurim, how broad is that? Is that for everything that was judged on Rosh Hashanah? The Chasima happens on Yom HaKippurim, or is it perhaps more limited? According to our Girsa, the idea that we have a Chasima on Yom HaKippurim, that's Sifrei Mesim and Sifrei Chayim. That's Chasmenu L'Chayim. That's about life and death related issues. So yeah, whether we're going to live or die is determined on Rosh Hashanah and then sealed on Yom HaKippurim. How much money we're going to make? How much food we're going to have? That is not necessarily, that might already be covered and sealed on Rosh Hashanah. So that seems to be the machlokas over here. Is the chasima that happens in Yom HaKippurim for everything, including how much money we're going to make? Or is it only for whether we're going to live or die, but the amount of money we're going to make has already been determined and already sealed in Rosh Hashanah? I, Psicha Vanila, such a school of for Parnasa, only according to one Shita, right? According to one Shita, too late. However, you spent 10 grand on Psicha Vanila, okay, so it's a mitzvah to give money to a shul. But according to the other Shita, so then it's perfectly good, because you'll get whatever school you want, because it's still something that the Parnasa is still determined on Yom HaKippurim. Okay, says Gemara Tanya, Amru Lev Shamei Azaken. They used to say about Shamei Azaken that Kol Yamav Yochel Lekavod Shabbos. Every single day he would eat Lekavod Shabbos. Matzah Beimana Omer Zol Shabbos. That when he would find a nice piece of meat, a nice animal, he would say, "Ooh, let's put this away for Shabbos." Matzah If he would find a nicer one, so he'd put aside the nicer one for Shabbos, and then he would eat the one he had initially put aside for Shabbos. Meaning he'd always make sure that there was something in reserve for Shabbos. He didn't want to take any chances when it came to having food for Shabbos. But Hillel HaZaken had a different approach. Everything that Hillel HaZaken did was L'Shem Shemayim. Now, obviously, by Shamei HaZaken, he also everything he did was L'Shem Shemayim. But the point is that it's a Chiddush, that you might think what we're about to describe about Hillel HaZaken is not L'Shem Shemayim. It sounds not as religious as what Shammai did. But the Gemara Dafka tells us in advance, no, Hillel was also very frum. Kol Mas of L'Shem Shemayim. But here, Shenemar Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Because the Pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So what did he do? He would, if he would have find something nice, he would eat it right away. And he would have bitachon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would get him something nicer in advance of Shabbos. That on Friday, he'll find he'll find even a better piece of meat. He'll find an even choice, more choice piece of meat to be able to have for Shabbos. So you might think, oh, that's not so nice. He's on a Tuesday, he's going to have this delicious meat. How does he know he's going to have something for Shabbos? No, that's why the Gemara say, no, kol mas of L'Shem Shemayim. Everything he did was L'Shem Shemayim. This was a fulfillment of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, that you bless Hashem for the blessings that he gives you each and every day, and you take advantage of the blessings that he gives you each and every day. And Tanya Namiyachi, Braisa tells us the same thing, that Beis Shammai Omrim Mechad Shabbayich L'Shabbateich, that Beis Shammai says that the Beis Shammai took the lesson of Shammai Azaken, and they said already on Sunday, you should already start thinking about Shabbos, now you're going to prepare what you need for Shabbos. So Beis Hillel Omrim, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Beis Hillel says, nah, take it as it comes and have bitachon, that everything that you're going to have, whatever you need, by the time Shabbos arrives. If I'm not mistaken, the Netziv raises the issue that the Gemara tells us that there are three places in all of Shas where there's a machlokas between Shammai HaZaken and Hillel HaZaken. The Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel had a lot of machlokas, but Shammai HaZaken and Hillel HaZaken had very few machlokas. And yet, the Netziv points out, I think in his Pirush on the Shiltos, that this is not one of the three. So, what's going on over here? If there's a machlokas over here, how come this isn't one of the three machlokas between Shammai, Hazaken, and Hillel Hazaken? So I think the Netziv explains that this isn't a machlokas. These are different personalities that have different approaches, but it's not a machlokas in Halacha. Beis Shammai is not saying a person is required to designate whatever nice piece of meat he has and set it aside for Shabbos. Beis Hillel is not saying that a person is required to gobble up or whatever he can find right away and just have me talking that it's for Shabbos. These are different personalities, just like people have different personalities. Gedolei Torah also have different personalities, and some are more nervous that they should always put away and have for later, and always and some are less nervous and they assume that everything is going to work itself out in due time. So that's if I'm not mistaken, that's how the Netziv comments on this Gemara. Rashi ala Torah on the pasuk Zocher Yom Shabbos Kadsho, Rashi writes Tnu Lev Lizkor Tamid Es Shabbos, that a person should always try to remember Shabbos, that if you find something nice, set it aside for Shabbos. So the Ramban points out that that's Beis Shammai. La Halacha, we don't pass like Beis Shammai, we pass like Beis Hillel. So maybe one way to be Miyashiv Shitas Rashi, the Chassam Sofer says, that even Beis Hillel is Moda to the Beis Shammai, that there's a mitzvah to be Zocher Shabbos at the beginning of the week, but since Kol Ma'aseim L'Shem Shemayim, even when you eat during the week, that's also a mitzvah. It's also L'Shem Shemayim. But yeah, it's very nice, and even better mitzvah, the Beis Hillel might agree to the Beis Shammai to designate things, to set aside things for Shabbos. Meaning, again, you get the impression this is not really a machlokas in Halacha. If it were, then Rashi on Chumash shouldn't be quoting a shita of Beis Shammai, which goes against the shita of the Beis Hillel. So I'm Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Chanina. Hanose, new topic. Hanose, v'atar l'chaveru, ein sorich l'hodiyo. If a person gives a gift to somebody else, he doesn't have to let the person know that he's giving him a gift. Shenemar Moshe lo yada ki karen or panav, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe's face shine, and Moshe Rabbeinu had no idea that his face was in fact shining, which is a very interesting daf yomi coincidence, second daf yomi coincidence, because that karen or panav was lucha shnios. Yom Kippur is the day of lucha shnios. That's when we received the second lucha. So the less obvious, but also daf yomi coincidence, as the Lucha Shnios, the Karan Arpanav, happened on Yom HaKippurim. But Moshe Rabbeinu was unaware of it, so Hashem gave him this gift, and he was totally unaware. So it says in Meisve, but I'll ask, the Pasuk tells you, L'daski ani Hashem Mekadishchem, that it's Shabbos is an os, that we know now that Hashem has been Mekadish us with Shabbos, Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, and that means that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Matana Tov Yesh L'Bebeis Kunazai, V'Shabbos Shema, I have a very special gift in my treasure house, and it's called Shabbos V'ani Mevakesh Litnei Yisrael, and I want to give it to Klal Yisrael. Lech Vodia Osam. Go let them know. Go tell Klal Yisrael how chashuv it is what they're about to receive, something so special. Mikan Amrav Shimon Gamliel, and Osim Pasatino Tzarech Lodil Imo. And based on that, says the Braisa, that when you give some bread to a child, you have to let the mother know so she can have a Karas HaTov. If you fed her kid, she should know that you fed her kid. You're an Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, and you decide to take out some Bachrim for a meal. Let their parents know that you took them out for a meal. Let them be able to show Hakaras HaTov that their children were fed. So don't you see it's a stira? Over here we're saying you do let them know, but Rabbi Chaim Rabbi Chanina said that when you give them a matana, don't let them know, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Ki karen arpanav. Says Malo Kasha. Habe matana davida l'gluye, habe matana delo avida l'gluye. It all depends if it's a matana that they're going to find out about anyway. When Rabbi Chama says you don't have to let them know, that's when they're going to find out anyway. Moshe Rabbeinu was bound to find out that Karan Arpanav, because he's going to see people, and people are going to be blinded by the light, and he's going to have to put a hood, he's going to have to put a mask on in order that he'll be able to talk to people. So he's going to discover that it was Karan Arpanav. So Hashem didn't have to tell him, he'll find out anyway. Moram Shimon Gamliel says, you have to let the person know it's when they're not going to find out. They're going to think their child is just not hungry at dinner time. They're not going to realize that he had such a big lunch. They're not going to know that you had fed him. So then you have to let the person know. So says Moram, but wait, Shabbos Nami Matana David Lugluye. But Shabbos, the Ribbono Shel Olam insisted on telling Klal Yisrael about Shabbos and what a Matana it is. But that's also Avid Lugluye. They're going to find out about it. Says Moram, Matan Schar Lo Avid Lugluye. They'll find out about Shabbos. They're not going to find out about the great Schar that's associated with the Shabbos. Amar Mar Mikan Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hanosim Pas Latinok Tzorich Lodia Liimo. When you give bread to a child, you have to let the mother know. My Avodlei, how do you let the mother know? What do you do to the kid? You're not going to see the mother, and they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have a way to contact them. So how are you going to tell the mother? You're going to pin a note to the kid's shirt. By the way, I fed your kid. So you don't have to do that. Here's what you could do. Shayif Le Mishcha Umali Le Kuchla. You can put some oil around his eyes or some eye makeup around his eyes, and the mother will say, why is your face full of oil or full of makeup? And he'll say, oh, this nice man gave me all these candies and this delicious meal. And then she'll know that that you had provided her child with something. But nowadays, if you put eye makeup on a child or oil all over the kid's face, people are going to suspect you of practicing kishuf, that you're casting some sort of spell on the child. So it's not, they're not going, the parents aren't going to take to that too well. So how would you let the mother know nowadays? Samra papa, shayif le mosa amin. If you're giving the child chocolate, so put some chocolate around his mouth. So he's going to see his mother. His mother's going to say, did you eat chocolate? And he's going to say, no, but he's going to have chocolate all around his mouth. So he's going to realize he's going to be caught. He's going to have to explain where he got the chocolate from. Many children don't even have to do it. They'll do it themselves. But that's what the Gemara suggests, so that the mother will find out. You put whatever min you gave him, you put around his mouth. Amar Rabbi Yochum Shum Rabbi Shum Ben Chai. Kol mitzvah shenasalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael nasalam b'farhesya. Chutz mishabbos shenasalam b'tzina. All the mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, he gave in a very public way, except for Shabbos Hashem gave in a very tzanua way. Shirem Rabbeinu Vem Yisrael os hi li'olam. So the Torah says li'olam, missing a vav, as if it's la'aleim, to be hidden, to be merameh, is that Shabbos was given behelim, it was given b'tzina. That's not an accident that Shabbos was given b'tzina. Shabbos is a very, very holy day, and we just learned in our shul last night a tshuva drasha from Rav Soloveitchik, where he highlights the idea that Rav Shachter always says over from Rav Soloveitchik, that Kedusha and Tzniyus are very closely associated with each other. That which is more Kadosh is more Tzanua, right? What's the holiest place on the entire planet? The Kodesh HaKadoshim. And who gets to, how often do we see the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So people say, once a year. Wrong. We never see the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kohen Gadol sees the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year. So we never get to see the inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The holiest thing is the most tsanua, is that which is most hidden, most covered up. And that's the way that sort of salvation explained, that one of the major differences between Klal Yisrael and, let's say, the Romans and the Greeks is the way we relate to the human body. The Romans and the Greeks relate to the human body in terms of yofi, in terms of beauty. Well, when you have something of beauty, that should be exposed, that should be shown off, that should be revealed for other people to see. So the Greeks ran around half naked in the Olympics and everything else, and it was a celebration of the beauty of the body. And what do the Jewish people celebrate? The body is Kedusha. It's Kedusha Saguf. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Neshama Torah that's clothed with this body that encases Kedusha. Kedusha has to have tznius. Kedusha needs to be covered. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us this holiest day. He's going to give us Shabbos. Shabbos is Kedusha. Kedusha is given with tznius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it with a sense of tznius. So says the Gemara, Ihachi lo la'an shunachrim ala. But if it was given with such a sense of tznius, then how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end of days is going to fault the Nachrim for not having accepted all the mitzvos, including the mitzvah of Shabbos? They have a taina. They could say, if you would have told us about Shabbos, we would have been mekabel it. But it was a big secret when you gave Shabbos. We never found out about it. So it says, Mar Shabbos Oduyeh Odinu. No, Hashem offered them Shabbos. He offered them not only the rest of Torah, he made it clear. Now, he was offering them this matan of Shabbos, but matan schar lo adinu. He didn't let them know about the schar of Shabbos. Only Klal Yisrael found out about the schar of Shabbos. So why can't the Nachrim then have a pischon pet to say, if you would have told us about the schar, we would have taken that, we would have taken the schar? No, because even if you would have told them about the schar, they probably would not have accepted Shabbos on account of that, because they're not choshesh for any kavod that's not an olam hazeh. The Shidim Gvetzes points out, they only would have been moved if the schar would be an olam hazeh. But the schar for Shabbos is an olam haba, so that would not have changed their judgment. So you see this idea that Shabbos is this great matana. We find all the time that Shabbos is a great matana. I'm putting out a sefer on the inyanim relating to Shabbos very soon. So I wrote in the Hakdama about the role that Shabbos played during the pandemic, during the height of the pandemic. The pandemic is unfortunately ongoing, but when it was at its worst, when people were dying left and right. So I wrote in my Hakdama that V'dafka b'zmanu hu tzipinu liyom haShabbos. We were always waiting for Shabbos. Yom haMenucha. Yom shabo hayinu yicholim lesanegi mishpachteinu. The day we could be with our families. Kasher b'meshach tchufa mushachas utzrachnu gam lesbodeid mishar b'nei Adam. We had to be apart from other people. L'spal b'sheket u'b'shalva b'yachar b'nei b'seinu b'lvad. And we were able to daven with our families. B'tchufa zu shaya kol kach har b'choshech, where there was so much darkness in the world, Ha'or shel Shabbos heir ba'ofen bahir yoser, the light of Shabbos shone in a more bright way. It was more obvious. V'dacha harbe min ha'choshech. Remember that was like the only time you can go 25 hours without hearing about someone dying was for Shabbos. It was the light in our weeks. That's a matana tova that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us to be able to experience the Shabbos. V'iba yosema, another possibility, says matan schar nami odinu. Hashem did let the Umos HaOlam know not only about Shabbos but even about the schar they're going to get for it. But neshami yisera lo adinu. He didn't tell them about the neshami yisera that comes with Shabbos. Some Rav Shem Elak neshami yisera nelson kodesh baruch hu ba adam erev Shabbos. Hashem gives a person neshami yisera on erev Shabbos that increases a person's capacity to experience simcha and to experience oneg on Shabbos, to be able to eat more and drink more without becoming disgusted from the amount of food. Ul motzei Shabbos not lo say menu. And then Motzei Shabbos, that Neshama Yisera is taken from him. Shenamar Shavas Vayinafash. So we darshan Kivan Shavas, after a person has concluded being Shavas Vayov the Nefesh. That's when he loses the Neshama Yisera. And that's why we have Besamim on Motzei Shabbos, right? Not Motzei Yom Tov. So there are two ways to understand why we don't have Besamim on Motzei Yom Tov. Pashtus is that in Yom Tov we don't have a Neshama Yisera. I think there's Svasemis that writes, no, you do get a Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov. It just doesn't go away. So you don't need that. That's an extra Neshama that's given every Yom Tov, and you keep that for the rest of your life. And that's why you don't need Besamim on Motzei Yom Tov. It's an interesting idea. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Osadim Tavshil Me'erev Yom Tov. A person should make a cooked food on Erev Yom Tov that's designated for Shabbos use, and that's called an Erev Tavshilin. Amrabai lo shanu al Tavshil av paslo. That's only a cooked food, but not bread. Bread doesn't work for Erev Tavshilin. Maishna paslo. Why can't you use bread for an Erev Tavshilin? Ilim imidi demelafis bein on. If it's because you need something that goes along with bread, that gives that adds some flavor and some excitement to the meal. U paslo melafta, and bread is not melafis as a pas. It is the pas. It's the basis of the meal. So hadai sanami. But by that token, then porridge or some type of grain dish, a farina. The lo melafta, it's also not something that's melafes as a pas. Rabbi Zera used to make fun of the Babylonians that they would eat bread with their farina. That's ridiculous. They're having bread together with their bread. You ask, what kind of sandwich do you want? A bread sandwich. That's ridiculous. You have to have some melafes as a pas. So you see that daisa is not melafes as a pas. But you're allowed to make an eruv tafshilin out of daisa. So don't tell me that the eruv Tavshilin has to be something that's malafis as a pas, because you could use daisa for an erev tavshilin. So why is it that you're not allowed to use bread? Alamidi lo shchiach bi'inanu pas shchicha daisa lo shchiach. No, you need something that's not always available. So pas is always available. Every meal is a bread meal, but daisa is not always available, and that's why bread cannot be used for the erev tavshilin, but daisa can be used for the erev tavshilin. Ikadamri, another version of this conversation has it flipped. That Amar Abai lo shanu al tavshil v'paslo. It starts the same way that Abai says you have to use a cooked food for Erev Tavshilin, not bread, my taima, but why? If you're going to say, and now we start with what we said second last time, that you need something that's not shchiach, upas shchicha, and pas is shchiach, v'daisa lo shchiach, but daisa is not shchiach, v'amr av nechumi, and this is the big change between this girsa and the last girsa, v'amr av nechumi bar zechari mishmei d'abaye, Ein ma'arvin b'daisa, that you're not allowed to use daisa for the eruv. So it's just like pas as far as the halacha of the eruv. But yet daisa is not shchiach. So if the rule is that you're only allowed to use something that's not shchiach, then why can't you use daisa for an eruv? Ella midi de malafes bina. No, you need something that's malafes as a pas. Upas lo malafta, and bread is not malafes as a pas for daisa nami lo malafta, and daisa is also not malafes as a pas. Doesn't go along with bread. Tam Rabbi Zeira ani bavloi tibshay dachli nama benama, because Rabbi Zeira used to make fun of the Babylonians. They used to have daisa together with bread. So you see that daisa and pas are in the same category. So the difference between the two versions of the conversation was simply in terms of what exactly Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah Mishmei Dabai held. Is it Ma'arvin B'daisa, or ein ma'arvin b'daisa. That's a very big difference, that you can or cannot use farina for your Erev. Tani Rabbi Chiya, adashim shebishule kedera, somech alein mishum Erev tavshilin. When you scrape off the bottom of the pot of lentils, and you have some lentils at the bottom of the pot, that's good enough. You can use that for the Erev tavshilin. You don't have to cook something special for the Erev tavshilin. But vani mili dispu kazayis. But that's only if you have a sheer kazayis, because you do require a kazayis of food for the Erev tavshilin. Amr Rav Yitzchak b'Rid Rav Yehuda, shamnun shel gabei asakin, goro v'somech alav, mishum Erev tavshilin. Even the fact that you could scrape off of a knife, you can use that as Erev Tavshilin. Vani mili dispu kazayis. But again, that's only if there is a kazayis, because one does require a kazayis for Erev Tavshilin. So, in fact, I was always under the impression that that's why the Minag Yisrael, I think almost everybody, has a Minag that they use an egg for the Erev Tavshilin. Right? Why an egg? You can use a piece of chicken, you can use a piece of fish. It's a perfectly valid Erev when you use any type of food. Why is the Minag to use an egg? So I always thought it's because what exactly the share of a kazayis is a big discussion, right? And a piece of chicken has bones. You count the bones. You don't count the bones. The soft bones, the hard bones. It's very hard to cheshbon exactly what a kazayis is. But one thing is for sure: a beitza is bigger than a kazayis. So if you have an egg, then you know for sure that you're safe in terms of your shear of erev tavshil. And that's why I always thought it was under the impression is the basis of the minog, or alternatively, the basis of the minog might be that the Erev Tavshilin is meant to be put away for Shabbos, and the minhag is to have that food for Shalosh Shudas. So you have a Shalosh Shudas style food. So it would have to be either tuna fish or egg salad. They're actually makoros of why we eat eggs at Shalosh Shudas. At Shalosh Shudas is the time of the ki'ilu yartzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. We eat Michael Avelim, so we eat eggs. Svarim talk about why it is that there's a minhag Yisrael to David. It's not because Shalosh Shudas are so delicious that everyone needs to have egg salad. There's actually a minhag like that that you have egg salad by Shalosh Shudas. It's interesting. We said a tab shil but not pass. The Ran raises the question. He asks on Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that it depends what you want to do on Yontif. Do you want to cook for Shabbos or bake for Shabbos? Rabbeinu Tam holds if you want to bake for Shabbos, then you got to have pass. If you want to cook for Shabbos, then you should have a tavshil. So the Ran says, if that's the case, then what's Abaye telling me? That only a tavshil works and not pass. Benkach, you need to use each. You need to use both. Pass, like we do. We use a tavshil and pass. We take a piece of matzah and the egg. So, certainly the bread is not going to work for the tavshil, just like a tavshil won't work for pas. So he said it could be that you could be dochak and say that even someone who only needs to bake, it's not enough to only use pas. He needs to also use a tavshil, because pas alone is not a heker. The Erev Tavshil also has to be a heker. It has to be something that's clearly recognizable that this is designated for Shabbos. People always have bread around the house. That's what we're talking about, shchiach. If they always have bread around the house, it's not going to be a heker. So it could be that according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if all you're interested in doing is baking, it could be that you're still going to need a tavshil. That pas alone is not going to suffice. Says Gemara further. Now, Amar Avasi Amar Rav, dogim ketanim meluchim, small salted fish, ein ben mishum bishuli nachrim. Since the fish are so salted, they are edible raw. And the halacha by bishalakum is that only something that's inedible raw is subject to bishalakum. Because if the guy didn't really do you much of a favor, since you could have eaten the fish anyway, so then it's not a violation of bishalakum. Amar Av Yosef in Tzalan. But even though it was edible raw, if the guy goes and roasts it, you're allowed to use that for Erev Tavshilin. The Avdinu Nachri Kasa Darsna. But if the guy turns it into a whole dish where that has fat and flour and also dagim, then Asr. Then it's Asr Mishum Bishalakum, because the flour is not edible raw. Says Mar Pshita, it's obviously subject to Bishalakum. The flour is not edible raw. No, Maudite Maharsna Ikr Kamash Mulan Kimcha. I might have thought that the fish fats are the ikr, so and therefore it should not be subject to bishlakum. So kamash mulan that the kemach is the ikr. That's a very key line, because that tells us that when determining bishlakum or not bishlakum, and there are multiple ingredients, you look at what is the ikr. And if the ikr is not subject to bishlakum, then that food is not subject to bishlakum. This is very, very nogeya lemaisa. The poskim are debating this ada yom hazeh right now. This is being debated in the Batei Medrash, in the Batei Hora'ah. is sushi a problem of, is salmon rather a problem of bishul akum? Meaning the fact that you can have sushi raw that you can have salmon raw in sushi, and a lot of people eat it that way. Look, sashimi, you know, to just have a raw piece of salmon, people will eat it, but not everybody eats that. I'm not touching that stuff. But you put some rice around it and some seaweed around it, and then it goes, you know, everyone eats it right away. So is that called something that's nechal kamo shu chai? It is nechal chai, but only together with something else. But yeah, when it's together with something else, what's the ikker? Is the rice the ikker, or is the fish the ikker? It's nafkamina for ilchus brachos. What bracha do you make on sushi? It would all depend on what the ikker is. Do you say a mezonos because of the rice? Or do you say a shahakal because of the fish? And maybe nafkamina in terms of bishalakum, in terms of whether salmon is subject to bishalakum, a filet salmon, someone guy cooks for you, is that a problem of bishalakum? Okay, a big discussion. I'm Rabbi Yama.
Another Dafyomi coincidence?
Well, for you, because you make okay, but not for the rest of us. So we have stop, chop, and roll on the line here. Amar Rabbi Abba, Eruvi Tavshilin Tzrichim Kazayis. Eruvi Tavshilin requires a Kazayis. So Yibayiluhu. Kazayis Echad Lekulan, O Dilma Kazayis Lekal Echad Ve'echad. Do you need a Kazayis, one Kazayis for everybody, or a Kazayis for each and every person? Taka Avishreiter's online. When we were discussing this in the OU office with Rav Shechter about the salmon, so he said, let's call the one of the caterers. So we called up Avi Schreier and we asked him, when you put sashimi out by a chasana, does it go? As fast as you can put it out, it goes. Yeah, but it's the same five chazers that are eating the whole thing. With the salmon, it's everybody. Everybody's eating the... And with the sushi, regular sushi, everybody's eating it. That's my pshat. That's not, it may not be the matzit. Okay, so the Gemara says that when we say a kazayis for each and every person, or one kazayis for everybody. So it says Gemara, Tashma, Dom Rabbi Abba Amrav, Eruvi Tavshilin Tzrichim Kazayis, Bein Le'echa, Bein Le'meya. Eruv Tavshil requires a kazayis, whether it be for one person or for 100 people, it only needs a kazayis. Tna, Nachalo, Shavadoi Vashalo B'tchila. We said that if the Eruv Tavshil got eaten or got lost, then you're not allowed to rely on it to cook Shir Mimenu Kol Shehu, but if even just a drop of it is left, Tomechalav L'Shabbos, then you're allowed to rely on it for Shabbos. My Kol Shehu, what's a Kol Shehu? Lav Aval Gavdalek a kazayis? Doesn't a Kol Shehu mean that there's less than a kazayis? Says Marlo, this big kazayis. It means that if you add way more than a kazayis, and then some of it got eaten. As long as there's a kazayis remaining, you're allowed to continue. You're allowed to continue to cook. Tashma will try another raya. Tavshil zeh tzli. A person says that this tavshil that I'm using from erev tavshilin, it could be roasted. It doesn't need to be cooked in a liquid. Va'afilu kavush. It could even be soaked in like pickled in a pickling to make it like a herring in order to make it edible. Shaluk, and it could be slow cooked. Umavushal, and it could be cooked normally in a liquid. V'kulios hespanin, and certain types of salty fish that's eaten raw, but they would pour warm water over it, and that was the way they would do the bishul. Shnasal of chamin erev yamtov, they would put chamin from erev yamtov. That would be that can all be work for the erev tavshilin. There's a discussion. The Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva whether you're allowed to use herring for an erev tavshilin. Is that called a cooked food? Because it's not actually cooked, but it's pickled. So he at first he brings a raya from earlier in the sugya that you're not allowed to, but then he seems to conclude that you are allowed to at least b'di'evid, but he doesn't recommend using herring for an erev tavshilin. So the brisa continues though, and this is the key of why we're bringing the brisa now. Tchilaso v'sofo in lo shir, and in the beginning and at the end, it doesn't have to meet any minimum shir. So my love in lo shir klal, doesn't that mean that there is no amount of food that you need to have for the erev tavshilin? Doesn't have to have a shir kazayis at all. So lo in lo shir lemay lev liyesh lo shir lemata. No, it just means there's no maximum shir, but there's still a minimum shir of a kazayis. Amar v'nam rav erev tavshilin tzrichin das. You also need to have das when you're making the erev tavshilin, that this is the food I'm putting aside for Shabbos. Pshita das maniach binan. Certainly the person who's making the Erev has to have das. Das mishe nich lo binan or lo binan. What about the person who they're making the Erev for? Does he need to have das or not? So Tash Magmar will bring a raya. Davu Adishmol ma'arev akula narda. Avu Adishmol used to make an Erev for the entire city of Nadar. Rabbi Yam, Ravasi Marvo Kulu Tveria, they would make an Erev for the entire city of Tveria. Machriz Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, mishe lo iniach eruv tavshilin yavu v'yismachal shali. Rabbi Yaakov Baridi used to announce on Yontif in Shul, if you forgot an Erev Tavshilin yesterday, don't worry, I got you covered, you can rely on mine. But you see, in all these cases, people didn't know in advance. The people who the Erev was being made for, the whole city didn't know that the rabbi was making it for them, and yet they're allowed to rely on it, so apparently you don't need their das. The Ad Kama, Says the Gemara, and how much can a person, how many people can I make an Erev Tavshilin for? Meaning, can I make an Erev Tavshilin? I'm in North Windmere. I can make it for people in California and Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, no. It only works for people that are within Tchum Shabbos of where I am, because they have to be able to access the food. If they can't access the food, then the Erev Tavshilin doesn't work for them. There used to be a blind man that would learn over the Mishnayos in front of Mar Shmuel. Mar Shmuel saw the blind man was sad one time, and it has to be that direction, right? Obviously not the blind man seeing Shmuel. So Shmuel saw the blind man was sad. So he said, why are you sad? So he said, I forgot the Erev Tavshilin. My wife is going to kill me. So don't worry about it. It doesn't say my wife is going to kill me. I added that. But he said, don't worry, you can rely on my Erev. Lashana, the next year, again he saw that the fellow was sad. He said, why are you sad? Again, I forgot the Erev Tavshilin. Now you're negligent. And therefore, for everybody else, it's mutter, but you're not allowed to rely on my Erev Tavshilin. Rashi writes over here that Shmuel was telling him that I have in mind to include in my Erev Tavshilin anyone who's not a Poshaya. But someone who's a Poshaya, I have in mind not to include in my Erev Tavshilin. So Beis Yosef is Medayik from Rashi. Oh, okay, so that was Shmuel's own Hakpada. But if I want to be a nicer rabbi, and I want to have in mind that even the Poshim could be able to rely on my Erev Tavshilin, that would work. And that's what the Shuvah Sarash Papaskins, that you can have in mind that even someone who forgets every single time can rely on your Erev Tavshilin. However, the Rush disagrees. The Rush says, no, you see a halacha from this Gemara, that the Erev Tavshilin of the rabbi can only work for people who are not Poshim, but he doesn't have the ability to cover people who are Poshim in the Erev Tavshilin. Baal Amar is an entirely different understanding of the whole Gemara. Baal Amar says that this fellow, Shmuel never told him to rely on his Erev Tavshilin. No, Shmuel said, Smocha Didi, come eat with me. You can rely on my food. We have plenty of food, so you'll come join in the meal. And then the next year, when he saw that he was a Poshe, he's like, I'm not wasting my food on you. You're a Poshe. I'm not inviting you for the Shabbos meal, but nothing to do with relying on the Rabbi's Erev. Tan Rabban, Yom Tov Shchalios Erev Shabbos, Ein Marvin Lo Erev V'Tchum and Lo Erev V'Chatzir. So now we're shifting. No longer Erev Tavshilin. Now we're talking about, if Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, can you make an Erev Tchumin to allow you to go beyond the Tchum Shabbos, that Shabbos, or an Erev Chatzeros to allow you to carry within your Chatzer? So the Braisa says, no. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Rebbe Omer Ma'arvin Erev Chatzeros Avlo Erev Tchumin. Rebbe is more makel. He says, an Erev Chatzeros you could do, just not an Erev Tchumin. Why? You can ask a person from preparing for tomorrow that which he's not even allowed to do today. But Viat Oso B'Dover Amutulo, you can't ask him tomorrow with something that's mutter for him today. So if he wants to set up an Erev Chatzeros, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov L'Tzorach Shabbos, because you're allowed to carry in the Chatzor on Yom Tov. So I can make an Erev Chatzeros on Yom Tov to be able to use it on Shabbos. But Tchum applies to Yom Tov also. The Yisr of Tchum applies to Yom Tov also. So since it's also for him to carry beyond the Tchum on Yom Tov, so he cannot take advantage of Yom Tov as a time to make an extra Tchum, to expand his Tchum. Itmar Rav Amar Alach Tanakama, Rav Paskin Tanakama, Shmuel Amar Alach Rebbe, and Shmuel Paskins like Rebbe. So Yibayeluhu, Halach Rebbe Lukulo Luchumra. When you say you pass like Rebbe, is that a Kulo or is that a Chumra? Meaning, are you allowing an Erev Chatzeros or are you not allowing an Erev Chatzeros? Says Mar, well, weren't you paying attention? Pshita de Lukulukama. Rebbe was the one who was more Makil. So when you say you're passing like Rebbe, you're passing like the more lenient opinion. So no, the reason why it was confusing is because Mishum Deshalach Rebbe Lazar Legola Lokashatim Shon Bebavel, that when they sent, Rebbe Lazar sent a message to the Gola, that the way you learned this Machlokas between Rebbe and the Tanakama, we had it reversed. That Rebbe Matir V'Cham Mosrin, you had Rebbe Matir V'Cham Mosrin, Ella, we had Rebbe Oser V'Cham Matirin, that it was the reverse, that Rebbe was more Machmir opinion. So when you tell me you're passing like Rebbe, I don't know which version of Rebbe you're passing like. I don't know if you're being Machmir or you're being Makil. So what taka is the din? Is Shmuel coming to be Makil or to be Machmir? Tasha Malik Mar says, I'll bring you a raya. The Rav Tachlifa Bar Avdimi, Avaluv de Kavase de Shmuel. Rav Tachlifa Bar Avdimi did like Shmuel, whatever Shmuel said to Paskin like, which was like Rebbe, Va'amarav, Tchilos Arad, Aitzum Rabban Lekilkula. And Rav was all upset about it. He said, this guy's first psak was a big kilkul. So let me ask you, when someone does an unwarranted chumrah, it's a kilkul? Or an unwarranted kula is a kilkul. So says Gemara, yeah, b'shlamal kula ka'amar. If it was a kula that he was upset about, hainu kilkula. I understand why that would be a kilkul. I go and I tell you that something is kosher, and it's not kosher, and then you eat it. So that's a kilkul. That's a you can't give a kula that's unwarranted. Eliam l'chumra, my kulkuli ika. But if I give an unwarranted chumra, what's a big kilkul? So the person will be a little more cautious about something. So why is that a kilkul? So says Gemara, it is a kilkul. Kivin demekalkuli barabim. Because think about what hainu kilkula. Because what's he telling them over here? He's telling them, you're not allowed to make an Erev Chatzeros. So you know what they're going to do? They're not going to make an Erev Chatzeros. So you know what might happen? Someone might carry in that Chatzer. And now they don't have an Erev Chatzeros, because I was machmir that they shouldn't make an Erev Chatzeros. That's a kilkul. Amra Rava Amrav Chista Amrav Huna Halacha Karebi Ul Isser. We pass like Rebbe, but not the initial version of Rebbe, the version of Rebbe that says that it's Asr, that we Asr making an Erev Chatzeros on Erev Shabbos. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up tomorrow morning with Tana Rabban at the top of Yudzayin Amral. Thank you so much for joining and learning together this Motzai Yom Kippur. A guten kvittel to everybody.
Thank you.
Tomorrow is